Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's the Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, Hans D in the house as well. Lante en route. Sorry for a little bit of a late start. Downpour of rain, the longest train in the world. I have arrived at the studio, and Lon, too, will be here shortly. But how we doing, my guys? Kyle, Hans, what's up?
What's up?
What up?
It's a Friday. You know what that means. Gonna have to play the old drink button as we go along. No Pia's today. We'll be at Pia. It wouldn't be a good day to be out on the Pia's patio. Of course, always a good time to go inside and hang out with Eric Meyer and the crew over there. West Springfield Avenue. We will be there next week. Is that next week, right?
Yep, next
week.
Yeah,
for homecoming weekend and gearing up for Illinois and Wisconsin. We're going to talk more about Illinois and Maryland. Final thoughts on that. Going into tomorrow's matchup, we're going to have Jeff Ehrman on from Inside MD Sports from the 24/7 Sports Network here coming up in about 20 minutes. Get his thoughts on the Terps. Also, of course, going to have to fit in some basketball questions. We spent a decent amount of time yesterday. We went through the preseason Big Ten basketball poll from The Athletic. Maryland predicted to be third in the league, Illinois fourth. Want to get Jeff's thoughts on what he's seeing out of Kevin Willard's squad going into year two of his tenure. But of course, the game tomorrow, I don't know how excited Illini fans are, honestly, when you're sitting there disappointed and just not feeling great about where you are so far with two wins and non-competitive football for the most part. I know on the scoreboard it said 20-7 against Nebraska. It could have very well been 35-7 if not for some turnovers there in the red zone for Matt Rule's squad. But this team needs to play a lot better, especially if it's going to have a chance on the road against a Maryland team that, of course, has Taulia Tagovailoa, one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten. You might get a boost from the weather because it is supposed to be rainy and wet and just not great all around the country for the most part as you look at the football slate this weekend. But, Kyle, is this the last chance? I feel like we're going to get into this mode, and we probably said this going into Nebraska. Is this the last chance to really grab the fan base's attention before basketball season starts? I mean, maybe you don't win the game. Of course, that'd be great. It'd be a big one for Brett Bielema and company. But just give fans something to hold on to. Like, this team's getting better in this area. This team was more competitive than we would have expected in this game. One that you look at right now, it's a 2-touchdown spread for Maryland. I feel like Illinois needs to show something here. Otherwise, this season's going to get written off pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think you can't expect to go in there and say they need to win or that's it. I mean, we're already at a point where a bowl game looks bleak and it's not a lot of hope out there. But I think you're right in the sense that, I mean, let's see some competitiveness. Let's go into Maryland, maybe shore some things up. It's a rainy day. Maybe Talia won't be able to sling it around and throw for 300 yards on you. Maybe it'll be an ugly game that you can hang around in and at least be competitive in. That's what I'm looking to see, if anything. I do not expect to go into Maryland, a team that's looked really good so far this year, and win, especially based on the way they've looked. But for me to have any type of hope the rest of the season, try to buy back into the thought of, hey, maybe there's still an outside chance at a bowl game, I'll keep my attention peaked homecoming weekend and some of those lesser opponents. You got to go in there and not get the doors blown off you and lose by 24, 30. I mean, that can't happen. I want to see them really be able to run the ball in that wet weather and try to at least hang around in the game and show that they're not really at the bottom of the conference and a pushover that you can expect the top teams to beat by 30.
I know we talked a lot about Nebraska's run defense, and for good reason, going into that game last Friday, and the fact that Illinois ran for, what, 11 yards or something ridiculous like
21
that?
21 yards on 19 carries.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Maryland doesn't have a bad defense in their own right. Like, you look at the fact of their fifth in the league in rush yards allowed per game in terms of the Big Ten. You look, 107 yards given up per game on the ground, about 3.2 yards per carry. This is a good defense, what's been for Mike Locksley's squad. And on the other side, it's a little jarring to look at the defensive stats for Illinois and see they've given up more yards on the ground than anybody in the Big Ten per game at 176.
I think they've given up more points and total yards than anybody in the Big Ten, if I'm not mistaken.
29 per game allowed defensively. That's the worst in the Big Ten.
To go from 1 to 14 in the conference, getting back the, I mean, I know you lose most of your secondary, but you get back Johnny Newton and Keith Randolph, and 1 to 14, and this is a six-game sample size. So that's really, really bad.
That's pretty rough. I'm trying to pull up here what's the national stats, because not only are you going from one to something else in the Big Ten, you're going from first to 90th nationally. Wow. 90th in the country in points allowed per game at 29. And if you just look at it this way, the way I've seen it, you take out the weather, because, of course, if it's going to be the forecast that we expect, you'd imagine that's going to affect the passing game in a decent capacity. But I was looking at it from this angle. You look at Illinois' road games so far. They went to Kansas, faced a pretty good passing attack. You go to Purdue, you faced a pretty good passing attack. Illinois' defense gave up 78 combined points in both of those contests. And we're really going into the fourth quarter out of it in both of those games. You'd hope that's not the case in this one. Maybe you do get a nice little assist from the weather, a windy rainy day there in College Park, and maybe that helps you in terms of what you have to contain with the passing attack. And we know the secondary is definitely gettable against good quarterbacks and good receiving cores, but we'll see. Lante's in the house. Lon, what's up?
Hey, sorry about that. I didn't realize that Kyle was gonna have to just run the show. Sorry. I had a client late come in the office, and I was like, he was even like, "You got a show you got to get to." I'm like, "Yeah." However, I'm like, "Hey, I'm right here. That's always got to be my priority. So, it was funny when I was listening to you guys driving in, and you had mentioned that Illinois is a 2-touchdown underdog, and I started thinking about, what do other teams think now of Illinois on the schedule? Like, what is a Maryland fan? They're like, "Oh, well, after we beat Illinois, we've got it's." I mean, we're right back to that, aren't we?
Easily, without question. If there was no weather concern in this game, I think that the spread should be 21.
I agree. Totally.
I think Maryland would put up 40 points and probably not break a sweat.
Yep. I'm with you there. This is going to be and it's, you know, at the start of the season, when we went through each game, I'm guessing I would have said, look, Maryland's going to be able to score some points. They're going to be really good this season. But this defense is going to be tough to score on. They're going to be almost nearly impossible to run against. And then, you know, hopefully by game, what is this, seven? Hopefully by game seven, our secondary's kind of figured things out, and we'll be able to kind of hold off a Maryland passing attack that can be really dominant. But now here we are a day before the game, and our defense is not dominant. their passing game is going to be able to throw all over the field, I believe, except for, like you said, the weather might help that a lot. And then I'm not confident that we could stop rushing attacks after what Purdue and Nebraska did to you the last couple of weekends. So it's amazing how much has changed, and that's just the defense. And I feel like I rip on the defense more than I rip on the offense, and it isn't fair, but I think I just had so many expectations. And for this defensive unit to where that's kind of where I always go first, almost like you're supposed to be the leader of this team. You're supposed to be the group that keeps us in games, and granted, they tried like hell against Penn State, but it's like you're the group that is supposed to be solid, and then let's see if the offense can catch up. Well, the offense hasn't caught up, and the defense hasn't exactly given them a head start to catch up to. So that's right. kind of where we're at here going into week seven.
Yeah, and Scott mentions on the U of I Line of Link text line, Illinois can't run the football, and that's something that has been a major problem. You look at the Big Ten numbers, Illinois is 10th in the league in rush yards per game. That's not something I would have forecasted going into the season. You factor that in with Luke Altmyer's had some ups and downs, and this receiving core is not great outside of Isaiah Williams, and that certainly plays into it as well. They can't protect Luke Altmyer all that great. And the offensive line is just something that I won't even say probably anymore. I just see no way that it's going to be majorly fixed or upgraded between now and the end of this season. So,
and then you lose three starters.
Yeah.
You know, with respect to Red Grange, who I would not put on this list, is Chase Brown the best running back that's ever played at Illinois?
I mean,
for what he did last year.
That's tough.
No, I'm kidding. But, like, I mean, for a single season, and I know Robert Holcomb had some unbelievable seasons.
Yeah,
we've had some really –
Rashard Mendenhall was awesome. Michael LeShore was awesome.
Unbelievable. I'm kidding here. But it's like what Chase Brown was able to do last year – And I do think the offensive line was better last year. It was nominated for that award as one of the top offensive linemen in the country. But I just look at it and I'm like, I wonder how much Chase Brown covered up with his talent.
I think you could see that in the opportunities when he wasn't in the game.
Yep.
The fact that Illinois was not that effective when Reggie Love was out there.
We looked average.
Pretty average.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, now you're going to lose three offensive linemen after this year. So I guess we know what the portal's going to bring next year for Christmas.
Hopefully a lot. Hopefully a lot more than it did this year.
You better.
I mean, man, that's something that has really come into the spotlight, I think, over the last couple of weeks, is that there was opportunity out there to upgrade some positions and provide more depth at the very least. I know they went and got – a number of guys to go into that secondary. But, I mean, like, Nakario Harper, who had a good game against Nebraska, I mean, the stat line said he had 17 tackles, but
right,
he didn't win a job coming out of camp, and that was a secondary that is pretty much all the way turned over. And Demetrius Hill gets hurt and has the season-ending injury, but he wasn't a guy who ultimately won a job out of training camp. Clayton Bush was able to beat him out for that other safety spot. That's where it's been underwhelming in the secondary. You didn't upgrade the offensive line, the receiving core. Those are all things that in hindsight were big misses for Illinois in the offseason. You hope that now they will be able to go in the portal this offseason and be able to fix some of that. That's where I wonder how much does this second half of the year, and yes, you're going to have better opportunities like against Indiana, against
sure.
a Minnesota team that doesn't look very good, Northwestern. Beyond just the wins and losses, I think we can pretty much agree that a bowl game is unlikely. But just the eye test, like, I think every opportunity to improve the eye test that Illinois isn't just same old Illinois again,
right,
is going to be pretty important for recruiting and just your appeal in the portal in general. Like, this thing can't fully bottom out. If it bottoms out and Illinois wins three games and say they get boat raced by Minnesota and homecomings here against Wisconsin, they beat you by four touchdowns and so on and so forth, I think that you're in a huge hole to try to rebuild your reputation. In previous coaching staffs can tell you that that's pretty hard to climb out of.
I mean, yeah, any momentum you had is done if you do that. Maybe Illinois will be the opposite of last year and they'll be a second-half team this year. Maybe they, whereas last season they lost, what, four down the stretch or five with the bowl game? Maybe this, well, no, they beat Northwestern, I'm sorry, but like four or five, or maybe this year they'll flip that script. And because, listen, I'm already, this is frustrating to hear, I'm sure, for Illinois fans, but I've been doing this for so long with regards to being an Illinois football fan that I'm already like almost done with the season. You know what I'm saying?
I think a lot of people are.
I mean, you're 2-4 and you just lost to a Nebraska team where you scored 7 points. And then a Purdue team that ran you off the field in the second half. And those are two toss-up games that you thought you probably could win, or at least Nebraska should win. And now you're staring down a Maryland team that is really good. I mean, this will be their best season probably in a long time, I would assume. Because I think they'll lose their quarterback, right? You know I don't say his name. They'll probably lose their quarterback, and then Maryland will take a step back, obviously. But
can you try saying his name? I just want to hear.
I don't even know his first name.
Talia.
Talia? Tagovailoa? What is it?
Tagovailoa?
Tagovailoa. I still can't say it. No. I want to say Frank
no.
Viola.
No.
Tagovailoa.
No.
No.
What is it again?
Tagovailoa.
I'm done. I need both of them to be
who
out
cares?
Of
the Who cares? I don't care.
Get this kid out of the Big Ten at least, and then I don't ever have to mention the Miami quarterback again. It's just frustrating that this is all kind of going like it
We've
is.
We've had too many of these seasons. Where we sit here in the middle of October and we work our way through a segment to try to talk about this game, and you can't go nitty gritty on it because there's just not a whole lot to dissect. This is a bad football team, should be overmatched on Saturday. Yeah, the weather can maybe put you in a game, but then again, if Illinois was at the baseline a physical football team, kind of what we expected going into the year, let's say you struggled with a new quarterback, inexperience, you didn't have a lot of pop in the passing game, and you were very vulnerable on the back end of the defense. But you're like, okay, the front seven's good, and Illinois is a Brett Bielema football team that can run the ball. Hey, right. We got a gift with a bunch of rain and some wind against a Maryland team. You never know if it's one of those ugly rock fight games hey, come on over to the Big Ten West. We play these all the time. Yeah. We play them when it's 60 degrees and sunny and there's not a cloud in the sky. Maybe Illinois would have a chance, but the fact is they're not a physical team. They don't win in the trenches on either side of the ball.
No.
So I don't see this, even in that circumstance, going well for the Illini, and that part of it is very depressing.
I'll ask you guys this real quick. I know we got to catch a break. We got a Maryland beat writer, I guess.
Yeah, Jeff Ehrman, Inside MD Sports for the 24/7 Sports Network.
So I'll ask you this real quick. 2 years ago, you beat Penn State, and you weren't supposed to do that. Last year, you took Michigan to the – basically should have beaten Michigan. And what I'm saying is those are two big games that you probably went in not thinking Illinois was going to win, and they won one, should have won the other, if not screwed. Is there a game on the schedule the rest of the year where maybe you think Illinois could do that? Because 2 years ago, it's not like they were – the best team in the West. I mean, last year they could have been, but, you know, they won 5 games 2 years ago. This team could still win maybe 5 games. I doubt it. But is there one of those they overdo themselves? Is it at Minnesota? I mean,
I don't know if at Minnesota would
not
be that
good.
Caliber. I mean,
see, that's
bad.
The thing. You don't really have anybody. It'd have to be this Maryland game.
This Maryland game, maybe at Iowa.
Maybe Iowa.
If Brian Ferentz messes it up that bad, but
or Wisconsin.
I'm sure
I would probably point to next week against Wisconsin.
Okay,
with homecoming at home. Wisconsin has a big game against Iowa this weekend, which is effectively the Big Ten West championship, and then they go and play against Ohio State the week after.
Wow.
So it could be one of those spots where they're.
Got it.
Overlooking Illinois a little bit. That'd probably be the one I point to, but still I don't have much confidence in that.
The board.
I just can still see what Wisconsin did to Purdue. Like Wisconsin went to West Lafayette and won like 44-19.
Mm-hmm. Can I say you wear more other team. Whatever.
I like hats,
I said,
man.
Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia. Memorabilia. Apparel.
Apparel.
Yeah, I got a Tampa Bay Bucks hat on.
It's awesome.
Appreciate it.
I just don't ever have the guts to do that.
I just like hats, and
I love it.
I got a collection of some different ones.
You and Andrew, man. All right, we got to catch a break.
We do. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Line and League text line. When we come back, Jeff Ehrman will join us.
Let's
on the Tapman's Towing phone line, talk some Maryland, Illinois, as well as some Terps basketball. Let's get his thoughts on that as well as we gear up for hoop season. Stick with us. It's The Drive.
Are you tired of getting the short end of the stick and always being stuck with cold water for your showers? Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing is here to help. With current tax incentives and rebates, you can save up to $900 on a high-efficiency tankless water heater, unlimited hot water, and saving on your energy bills. It seems like the best gift you could give your home. With the current promotion of 0% financing for qualified applicants, you can't afford not to call. 217-841-4728. Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend.
Like every bank, there's a time every day when we stop making loans. But at Iroquois Federal, we never stop making a difference. Thanks to an amazing team of employees who give back to their local communities all over Central Illinois. From hospital boards and local school programs to Kiwanis and the United Way, Iroquois Federal employees donated more than 1,000 volunteer hours last year. And we'll do it again next year, because the only thing we like more than making a loan is making a difference. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance. When you buy from us, get the whole store.
Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom in to Audubel, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audubel, A-U-D-I-B-E-L, for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L. If you want more information about Audible and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to audibleteam.com. That's A-U-D-I-B-E-L, audibleteam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audible. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to audibleteam.com. That's audibleteam.com.
Build strength and endurance in a high-energy, fun fitness class with the Urbana Park District. Work It Circuit runs Tuesdays and Thursdays at the Phillips Recreation Center. Classes are between 5 and 5:50, October 24th through December 14th. Each session takes you through a full-body workout with a mix of resistance training and high-energy aerobics. No experience is necessary, and people of all abilities are welcome. Instructors can modify the class to meet your needs. For details, visit urbanaparks.org.
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Back on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's go to the Tapman's Towing phone line. Learn more about this Terps squad with Jeff Ehrman. Inside MD Sports does a great job for our Maryland 24/7 sports site. Jeff, how you doing today? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. A lot of fans not too excited about football currently.
Upset of the year coming up.
Getting ready for hoops, but there is a football game to be played on Saturday out there in College Park. I know Maryland may be a little disappointed that things slipped away late there in Columbus, but this looks like a pretty good Maryland team. Obviously, I imagine still high expectations for what they can do the rest of the year. What's up? What is Illinois going up against in this Maryland team and what they're going to see tomorrow?
Well, first off, I can relate to your opening line because I've been there many times over the years where fans have given up on football by now and it's all about waiting for basketball to start. But obviously not the case in Maryland this year. They're 5-1. As you said, kind of ran into a road bump last week at Ohio State. Nobody really expected to win. I mean, they dreamed of, you know, of pulling that off. But I think, you know, you're playing a team that's one of the best teams Maryland's had in recent years. Obviously, the big question for them for this game is, can you avoid the hangover effect of losing that Ohio State game, combined with that it's pretty easy to overlook Illinois given how they've struggled recently. So that would be the biggest question. You know, otherwise, I think, you know, it's pretty obvious there's a reason why they're fairly big favorites.
Absolutely. I know that fans around the Big Ten know about Talia Tungavailoa, even though my co-host can't say his name still on numerous attempts. But this seems to be a decent Maryland defense as well. Illinois, Brett Bielema team, always wants to run the football. They're not doing that very well this year. But looking on paper, like, the Terps, pretty good in the trenches, it seems, in terms of stopping the run. How good is that defense, and how tough can they make life on Luke Altmyer and company?
Yeah, the defense has been good. You know, they've been more bend the don't break than like total shutdown defense. They've been really good at forcing turnovers, top 10 nationally. So that's been the biggest strength from them, But last week against Ohio State, they proved that they can hold up in the trenches against a really talented team. You know, they held Ohio State to their fewest rushing yards, I think, since 2013 in the game. So, you know, they've been pretty good. The depth isn't great at cornerback, and they've had one of their top cornerback, Tarheeb, still missed last week. No word yet on his status. So that's kind of one, I don't know if you want to call it a weakness, but that's an area of concern. But overall, it's been their best defense in quite a while.
Regarding the quarterback, I'll leave it at that. How did that work out at Maryland in terms of you guys recruiting Talia and getting him? And obviously he has put together one heck of a Big Ten career here, and his brother, as we know, is really good on the NFL stage. But how did that work for Maryland? Was that just Mike Locksley getting that done?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Mike Locksley was the offensive coordinator at Alabama when both of the Tungavailoa brothers were there, so he got to know him and the family very well. So when he decided it was time to transfer, understandably, given all the talent that was there at quarterback at the time, Locksley had the inside track and was able to pull that off. And it's been, you know, probably the biggest facet of this whole turnaround that Maryland's had, because before that they were really struggling to get good quarterbacks.
That's a great call. I'd forgotten all about both of them being at Alabama. So when it comes to the Maryland offense, and obviously weather could dictate this tomorrow, but what will Illinois fans expect? Is it going to be early runs, you know, setting up solid pass situations, or how has it been working for Maryland when it's working right?
Well, they're better passing the ball, clearly. The running game's been respectable, not great. Offensive line, which was the biggest question mark coming into the season, has been really good in pass protection, but hasn't been opening up huge holes. I'm sure they'll try to establish the run this week, especially if it's bad weather, and see if they can just overpower Illinois. But, you know, it's been more of a passing offense. They spread the ball around. They have three guys in the top 20 in the Big Ten in receiving. There's no one guy you can really like double team or focus on. And then they have a pretty good stable of running backs and the tight end, Corey Dyches, who's one of the better pass catching tight ends in the conference. So it's really a well spread out attack.
Follow Jeff on Twitter at Jeff_Ehrman. Read his stuff at Inside MD Sports. If you're an Illini fan trying to come up with a reason why they can stay in this game, I know you look at the Charlotte game, the Virginia game earlier in the season for Maryland, and they dug themselves a hole. I think they were down 14-0 in both of those contests. I know, you know, playing lesser opponents on that note, I think they took care of business pretty well against Michigan State and Indiana, so maybe more recently they fixed that. Is there anything in those early season games where Maryland had slower starts that played into a big underdog being able to stay in that game. Is there anything that you saw from those that as far as being an issue or maybe just overlooking a team?
Yeah, that was a concern there for a minute. You know, they did it, as you mentioned, a couple times in a row. They've kind of seemingly ditched that. You know, in the past three games, they've got off to strong starts against Michigan State, Indiana, and Ohio State. So you wonder if maybe that was just, part of playing non-conference teams that they knew they were going to beat fairly easily. Both of those games, they came back and pretty much dominated after the first quarter. So they've kicked that habit for the most part. But like I said earlier, you know, with the hangover effect potentially of Ohio State and also maybe overlooking Illinois, it wouldn't be as shocking to see that happen this week.
Jeff, transitioning to basketball for all the fans out there that are already gearing up for basketball mode. And, you know, there was Big Ten basketball media days earlier this week. And I know the Athletic poll came out. Maryland projected third in the league, Illinois fourth. Kevin Willer had a really good year one there in College Park and has a lot of talent back, and then also a really good recruiting class. What are you expecting out of this particular team in year two for Willard, and what kind of season they can have?
You know, I think they have a really good team. I think they have a chance to have one of the better seasons they've had in a while. You bring back two guys, Jameer Young and Julian Reese, who were both among the 10 players picked for preseason All Big Ten. So if that proves accurate, then you've got, you know, two of the best 10 players in the league. You also have Dante Scott back, a guy who's been there forever, has produced at high levels, been a little inconsistent. You know, you want to see him go out with his best season yet. If he does that, then you've really got a, you know, borderline elite top three. And then they brought in a couple of freshmen, Deshaun Harris-Smith, who a lot of people have picked as Big Ten Freshman of the Year. And then Jamie Kaiser, another really good freshman. And, the bench looks like it should be better than last year, a little more depth built. So, you know, I think they have a chance to take a step forward this year and be one of the better teams in the Big Ten.
I think that top three, most fans around the league probably pretty familiar with them. Illinois fans definitely waiting patiently for Dante Scott to leave, exit stage left, because he's been a big problem for them.
I had him on my fantasy team, I think it was 7 years ago.
So, right?
Yeah, that's how long he's been around.
Jeff, you mentioned Deshaun Harris-Smith, a highly touted freshman coming in, and like you mentioned, a popular pick for freshman of the year. You being more familiar with his game, his skill set, what should we expect from him in terms of what he's going to bring in year one?
Yeah, he's kind of a combo guard, lefty, 6'4", very thick, strongly built, overpowers defenders a lot, but has also gotten a lot better shooting it from outside and also as a distributor. You know, all the buzz out of College Park is that he's more than lived up to the hype so far in the offseason. They think he's going to be a star right off the bat. You know, obviously that's hard to do for a freshman in the Big Ten, but we've seen it happen obviously plenty of times. And, you know, they feel like he has a chance to be one of the better guards in the league right away. So if he can live up to that hype, then, you know, that's a pretty good starting lineup.
One more on basketball, Jeff. Kind of maybe a big picture. Just I think Illinois and Maryland probably in similar boats in terms of a lot of high expectations. Brad Underwood, I think people are happy with around here, but we know that you got to reach the next levels of the NCAA tournament. Saw that with Mark Turgeon not being able to hit that there in College Park, and then people get a little restless. But how would you characterize the fan base, the expectations, just the task on the coach's desk there in College Park for a very proud program?
Yeah, I think, you know, he won everyone over last year. They weren't picked to go to the tournament by really anybody in the preseason. End up going to the tournament, winning a game there. So that's a pretty successful season. And now the question is, like, what's the ceiling? You know, was that a one-year, you know, one, I don't want to say not a fluke. Clearly he's proven himself as a good coach, but can you take that next step with these guys next year and become a team that, you know, competes for championships and that sort of thing? So there's a lot of excitement. You know, I think the fans are starved, like you said, for postseason success, as proud of a program as Maryland is and as much, you know, fan interest as there is. They've been the Sweet 16 once in the past 20 years, which is really incredible to think about it. So they're in dire need of that sort of breakthrough. And I think that he won most people over, and this is his chance to really kind of take them to the next level.
Jeff, jumping back to football for my final question. Last season, Illinois won 8 games. They were in position to win the West. That, you know, it got Illinois fans, you know, midway through that season to the late part of the season, looking ahead at bowl games and trying to figure out what kind of a bowl game they could play in. They end up going to a nice one down in Tampa in January, and that was something that a lot of Illini fans obviously attended. They were excited about it. For Maryland fans, I would assume it's similar. What, you know, being in that East obviously changes everything, and already the loss to Ohio State, we know what Michigan is, we know what good, how good Penn State can be, but what is kind of, you know, what's kind of that sight that Maryland fans are looking at right now? What's kind of that, the best case scenario kind of bowl game, et cetera?
I mean, the bowl, obviously everybody would love a Rose Bowl, right?
Sure.
But, I mean, realistically, there's a pretty strong consensus right now among the midseason projections, which can obviously change a million times between now and December for the Music City Bowl in Nashville. I think fans would love that. It's a good destination. It's a bigger name bowl game than they've been to in a while. But really, any fairly big name bowl game, I think they'll be thrilled with. Obviously, you know, you'd like to go somewhere with warm weather and
sure,
a cool place to visit. But just in terms of prestige, anywhere that's kind of that next level up, because they haven't been to one of those in a long time. You know, they had a long drought, and then when they have gone, they've been kind of the mid-level bowls. So I think they'll be happy with just about any big-name bowl, but Music City seems to be the most popular prediction right now.
Perfect.
Jeff underscore Ehrman on Twitter. Read his stuff. Does a great job for 24/7 Sports. InsideMDSports.com. Jeff, enjoy the rest of what is an actual relevant football season for you over there in College Park. And then we'll have to catch up down the road when Illinois and the Terps do battle in hoops. But appreciate the time today, and thanks as always.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Ehrman.
I remember. Don't you remember last year looking at the bowl projections and where Illinois might go and if they could? I remember
that. Was fun.
I remember bowl projections.
That was fun. Man, that's, he caught me a little off guard with the one Sweet 16 in 20 years for Maryland.
That is amazing. I mean, because didn't we just talk about that yesterday and how we look at Maryland as a program and such? And I mean, that's kind of hard
They're
to believe.
They're fairly similar to Illinois in the last, if you take the snapshot of the last like 20-some years.
Both programs, you know?
Of course, they got the title.
Yes, they
early
did.
Early 2000s, but.
Juan and Steve. No, you're right. I mean, if you take, I mean, and look, it's not like Illinois wasn't close, right, in 05.
Oh, of course. Yep.
So, and 89, obviously. And you know, back in the 80s, I mean, Maryland had some really good teams. Of course, you had Lynn Bias come through, who was unbelievable. And just, did John Sally play at Maryland? No, I don't think he did. I think he played like at Auburn or something. But you had some, with Lefty Drizel, you had some really good teams. Yeah, it's funny to kind of look at that. I bet if you went back and kind of dove into the numbers, there'd probably be a lot of similarity between both football and basketball with Illinois and Maryland. I know we always kind of like look at our, you know, we kind of look like at Purdue is kind of similar. Mm-hmm. Seems like we both always have really good basketball programs. Obviously, Purdue has dominated you lately in football, but it's not like they've ever been, you know, minus a Drew Brees season, let's say. It's not like they've ever been really just crazy good. But, yeah, I bet Maryland, maybe I'd be wrong. Maybe I'd be confused. Maybe I don't give Maryland's football program enough success or, you know, kudos. I'm not sure, but I just don't ever remember Maryland really having huge success in football. So, and probably Illinois with their one-off seasons that somehow come out of nowhere, we probably have better success in football, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty interesting to see kind of the similarities there, because I don't know, both basketball programs are really good. That is hard to believe that Maryland's only been to one Sweet 16 in that time. Of course, Illinois' last one was, what, 17 years ago? Sweet 16?
Not like anybody's counting, right?
Is that right? 17 years ago.
Yeah.
Is that 17 or 18?
18.
No,
18.
More than that. It's 18, yeah.
Yep.
I don't count so well.
Scott and Benny, thanks to you guys on the U of I Line on the text line. John Sally, Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech. Good call. I think what I need to do one day is just randomly pick names of players and throw out a college that I think they played for and just have everybody just scurrying to correct me like Kyle does every day. So I would just be like, yeah, Mark Price, hell of a player for Duke. That's not right. He didn't play at Duke. Good stuff there.
Sean mentions 2:30 primetime NBC. Yeah.
It's just I don't know. I came into today thinking, oh, we're going to talk. What are we going to talk about today? You know, we got Matt Lang coming up at 4:05. Talk to him some high school football. We haven't really dove into the football scene yet, so we're going to do that with Matt, former Fisher coach. He does a podcast that is pretty popular, obviously, among high school sports fans. So I started thinking, well, we'll talk Illinois, Maryland, and then I was like, eh, I'm not that excited to do that.
No, I'm not either.
It just stinks. It just stinks. It really does. Two freaking years in a row. Can we just get 2 years in a row of winning football? Two. Why is it the number two? Like, Kyle, I went off on you one day. Not on you, but you were right here, and Derek was gone. How Illinois can't win two games in March in a tournament. Mm. Just two games. Two stinking games to get to a Sweet 16. Two games you've got to win. And we can't do it. We haven't done it in 18 seasons. And now the football program, we're not going to have a winning season 2 years in a row. Why is it so damn hard? Two. I'm not asking for 12. I'm not even asking for three. Two. I used to make two free throws in a row. So did you, Pipes. I know you were good at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Hans D, not. Kyle used to be able to serve two aces in a row in tennis. Hans has had two birdies in a row in golf, I think. Have you? Yes.
I haven't.
Well, listen, I didn't include golf with you. Derek's had two completions in a row.
Yeah.
As a quarterback.
I just meant two completed holes. Completed two holes in a row.
I remember getting two hits in a row one time in baseball and softball to boot. Two. I mean, the odds have got to be with you, don't they? Aren't the odds with you to be able to win two games in March? It's not like, and I know Illinois went through that stretch where we didn't even make a tournament. That was
putrid. Yeah, you got to get there first.
So thank
if
you to
Brad. If
you're
there enough times, you would think you could win two in
a row. Right,
you'd
think the odds would be with you that you could win two games in a row. Stupid Loyola game. That stupid Loyola game. Ugh! And then,
because that's really the one, not to do a whole tangent on that, like, I think the Houston loss, you're like, yeah, Houston was better than us.
They were better. They suffocated you.
Arkansas, yeah, you got dominated in that game.
And we didn't even look like we care. I mean, that's not fair. That is not fair to say that. I could tell from the get-go Illinois wasn't winning that game. And that was more to Arkansas. I'm sorry. That was not fair.
I mean.
But gosh dang it. And that was the first game of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't even after we won one. I mean, Tennessee-Chattanooga was a battle. We did hammer Winthrop. Is that who we played? Yeah.
Winthrop?
To get to Loyola.
Drexel. Yeah.
Drexel. Two.
Yeah. It's tough.
Oh,
man. All right. Yeah, well, we're due for a break.
I need, hazard pay. Derek, once you've done this for 5 years, you get hazard pay.
I'm not that far away.
No, you're close.
I'm getting there.
You'll start getting a check for hazard pay.
Okay,
it's
appreciate it.
It's pretty nice. It comes
could use it
randomly from the government, but and it just says on there on the subject line, talking Illini sports. Dang it, I love Illinois. Yeah. I love Illinois athletics, and it's just Yeesh.
Yep.
One of my favorite things to do now, the yeesh. I don't know why. Don't know where I got it. Oh, man. I don't even have anything else. I mean, I'm so frustrated by that.
Yep. Let's catch a break. If you want to win, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. Like Lon mentioned, Matt Lang, 405, to talk some high school football.
Your
Hans D in the house.
Chargers are doing some things.
Kyle Jackson's done a good job there.
Yes, he has. You could tell I didn't want you to
shout out to him.
Any shout out to Hans.
No, yeah, Hans.
Totally knew where you were going, and I had to jump in and interrupt
you. Yeah, he's here. He is in the house. Ghosted us last week, but, you know, yeah. It's okay.
Oh, you're in Savannah. Oh. I do want to ask you, Hans, about Savannah. Oh, okay. Let me say this on the air before. Any good stories from Savannah? Okay. Kind of gave us a meh.
It's the drive.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
So when was the last time you saw a best deal guarantee?
You mean a promise that actually held up?
Right.
That some unknown online entity didn't want you to log in and download a code and then re-verify as you join some club?
Drives you nuts, I know.
And then once you purchase that set of steak knives?
Well, Dick Van Dyke Appliance World is a lot simpler. You find a verified great deal and they beat it. Just show them the deal you saw. A newspaper clipping or the online cart price will do, and then you're good.
At Dick Van Dyke Appliance World, it's one of those instances where you see a best deal guarantee and...
you get the best deal.
This is Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Our exclusive 10-year protection plan comes free with most appliance purchases. Whether it's a GE, Whirlpool, Frigidaire, Bosch, or any of our 30 brands, I guarantee we will beat any competitor's deal. Wow!
Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, get the whole store.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace are music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects, large and small, as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing, too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
You moved into your new home using two men and a truck. The garage was clean. Then...
I love the new recliner. What are we going to do with this old one?
Put it in the garage for now.
Over time, this cycle continued.
Garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now, put it in the garage for now.
It happens. You got junk. Call two men and a truck to get rid of all your junk. Residential or commercial, two men and a truck has a solution for your junk removal. Contact them at twomenchampagne.com.
Two men and a truck.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive at Sandpiper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Got to tell you about Game Day Spirit, great sponsor of our show. Two locations, Neal and Green Street. Go into their website right now, which you can also check out at gamedayspirit.com. Right there on the front page, the Maui Strong collection. Both a champion short sleeve t-shirt and Lon's favorite, a Tommy Bahama.
There's the best.
Those are good looking shirts.
It is. They are good very looking nice.
Shirts. You can also get it in a hoodie.
Sweet.
Of course, any and all other Illini related gear, hoodies, hats, t-shirts, gear up for Illinois basketball, anything.
I bought one of those.
Start your Christmas shopping.
Exactly. I bought one of those orange hoodies, and it's really light. It feels so. It's so comfortable. You could wear it to bed. It's that comfortable. And that would be, and here's why I say this, that would be perfect for basketball games. Because you know how it is with basketball. It's really cold out. You go inside, then you sweat during the game, then you go back out in the cold. Those would be perfect because when you get into State Farm Center and it's hot,